Well, we're back into our teaching, and really we've been back into this. We've, from the beginning, it's when will Jesus Christ return for the church. Now, there's one of the things is, I put that as, when I started off, as looking at for the Lord didn't give me a title to it, but I just put it down, and I thought, you know, there's people going to see that, and they're, oh man, he's going to make a prediction, and ain't happening. But because when we talk about this, and this subject needs to be talked about in this day and this time, because things are so much said and things have gone on, things that over the years, and one of the things we're really looking at, because, you know, if we take each one of us, we maybe have heard different things. Some have heard some of the same things. Some have heard different things. And over time, we looked at last week, we talked about the fact of one of the things where people began to predict. Now, predictions have been going on through the ages since the church, but there was during the time of the 50s into the 60s and 70s and 80s and even the 90s it was going into. One of the things was we talked about last week, because when people turn around and follow after what people say rather than looking at what the Scripture says about it, and they start doing predictions on things, but when you start looking at the Scripture, you find out the Scripture's not saying what people are making their predictions from. And there's no one should be making predictions. No one should be making predictions. You know, and it's like I said, prophecy is not making predictions. Predictions are made, but when men look at the natural and try to interpret prophecy by what's going on in the natural, then they make predictions. That is men doing that. God is not doing that. We can look at the Word, and the Bible tells us enough things about things and the times and stuff is going on. And especially we as a church, the Church of Jesus Christ, are a spiritual people. We're not to be the people moved by signs. Now, one of the things we're going to go in tonight and look at is because of things that have been said in certain areas, and people make predictions and say certain things, which we need to clear up some of these things in our own minds and stuff about, well, what does the Bible say? And so we're going to look at Scripture in speaking. One of the things that people say is this, is, and really studying the subject of the end times. Over the years, I've looked into, God's shown me things, and I've studied things, and probably here over the last few months, I have done probably more things to Scripture. You know, I sort of walk away from it, and all of a sudden God will start talking to me about it, and I go back to the Scriptures again and start looking, studying things, and start seeing things. Is God always deals with me in Scripture. All of a sudden, Scripture will start coming to me on a certain thing, and I'll think, well, I never really looked at it that way. And tonight we're going to look at a thing that I never studied or really look at. It came to me, the Lord's few Scriptures came to me. I just sense in the inside I'm supposed to look into this subject, and we're going to, because... And it'll be helpful for us is what we're talking about. Clearing up the air. You know, you can hear from God.
Amen.
You have the Spirit in you. And if you're not listening to it, that's your problem. You wouldn't know it if somebody else was telling the truth about it anyhow. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We need to understand this. If somebody says that God said to them something, well, you're going to have to find out. You know, there's many things that even with Kenneth Hagin and prophecies. I want the Lord about it. Prayed over time to find out, is this what you're speaking? I want to know. God started showing me things in the Scripture. I want to know. You don't just take it because somebody said it. You know, God said, you know, so this guy had a vision. Hey, the devil's people have visions all the time. You can't go by this stuff because of that. It has to be verifiable. It has to be things that you can look at, things that fit concerning the time and Scriptures, and understand that. We're people of the Spirit. We are supposed to be checking things out ourselves. That's why Brother Hagin said, if I say something to you and that stuff, he said, it don't witness in your spirit. He said, forget about it. Is a witness in your spirit. People never check that. Their favorite preacher says anything. We have, in America, we have some huge followings of some major ministers who have missed prophecies so many times and have said so many things that have been wrong. And people follow them diligently and give them hundreds of millions of dollars every year. And they just miss it all the time. Because their favorite preacher said it. They don't even think, you know, they don't realize the whole time they're desensitizing themselves to the Bible. When they're believing things and they don't even care anymore if the guy don't say the truth. They like the other stuff he preaches. What they have become is they've become the itching ear, you know, Christians. Drawing people to themselves. Say to me the things I want to hear. You know? I'm just sorry. I mean, I realize this, that, you know, itching ears, Ed's not your man. I'm going to tickle it. I'm just, we're going to say what's true. And number one, I'm the big believer in the fact that the truth is what makes men free.
Amen.
Truth will keep you out of fear. Many people think, well, I don't want to hear bad things or I get afraid. Well, Well, that's a sign of weakness. If I can't hear bad news without falling apart, then I have weakness, because you're going to hear bad news whether you like it or not. One way or other, this is why we follow the Word, because it gives you strength when you're into situations and troubles that aren't good. You stand with God. Hallelujah. That's what you want to get to, that place where you stand. Now, one of the things I want to talk about, just quick briefly into this, because over the years, I've always heard this, and they say the thing that Israel really is the time clock of the end times. Israel's a con, and that's become a con. I don't know how many of you have ever heard it, but I've heard a lot of ministers over the years. They say, and I want to talk about that just in opening here, because in a sense, there's some things about it could be true, but generally it's not. Israel is not the timepiece for the church. Because 90% of what Jesus Christ said to Israel about the end times was for Israel, it ain't for the church. So Israel couldn't be the time clock. The signs of the end times that Jesus said were not for the church. We've looked through the book of Revelation and we saw that they weren't. Those things that Jesus said pointed to the second coming of Christ to set up his kingdom. So the church is, these same people say, well, I believe we're going to be gone. Well, then how can Israel be the time clock? Now, we know this from Israel's standpoint. Israel becoming a nation is a sign toward the end. But a lot of things concerning Israel as a nation is not for the church. And so we need to get that in our minds. Now, I was doing some looking up some things about scriptures, and, you know, they said there was like 46 or more scriptures that were, and some other ones, that in the Bible that talk about Israel becoming a nation. Well, I decided I was going to start looking at some of these scriptures, and I found this out. Numbers of those scriptures are not about Israel becoming a nation. They're about, during the millennial reign, about God bringing the nation together. It's about the millennial reign, and it isn't about them becoming a nation. Now, there are ones about Israel becoming a nation again. Israel is an interesting thing. First, I don't know how true it is. I hear people say, and I heard ministers, in fact, I just heard a minister say it, that Israel is the only nation that existed and then didn't exist and now exists again. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, I don't know all the nations on the earth, and I don't know how they figured that out. Because there's nations and that stuff that have changed names over the years and through the centuries. And so you can't go by, you know, there's certain things when Christians say, sometimes it's just, you know, Israel was and was not as a nation. And the reason they were, you know, you could go back through and look from a historical standpoint. Israel sort of just fell apart once the Romans took Israel in 70 AD. Israel ended up, Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. That was just really the fall apart of the nation. And then eventually, you know, the Ottoman Empire came in and took over, and they ran. That was their place. And then during the Crusades, there were some periods when Jerusalem was taken by the Crusaders, and the Ottomans were pushed out. It was back and forth, back and forth. But it really wasn't until the end of the First World War where the Ottoman Empire lost a bunch of things, and they were pushed out into areas. But Israel became an actual a nation in May 14th, 1948. That's when they became a nation. Now, there's one thing is this, is we can look at that. We know that that was toward the end of the age. But now, they became a nation, and that was one of the things that we talked about some last week. With them becoming a nation, people began to talk about, well, Jesus has to be coming back. And they started predicting, because Israel became a nation. So this generation, and which they were wrong about that, it wasn't about that generation, we found out last week. And they started doing that. And I mean, here we are, 1948, and we were in 2024. So we got past a little bit, didn't we? See, people saying things, and this is why we need to be very, very careful of what's said. Now, we have two sides of sort of the subject. There are the people who predict Christ's return because of, they said certain events, they missed events. There's some things that, you know, the Bible does say certain things, but you can't predict it. I mean, you can't just say it. You know, people are always trying to figure out, you know, dates and times, and it's really, we can't do it because we don't know in the, when calendars, especially from the calendar standpoint, things that were spoken in the Bible to today, we don't even have, we're not even accurate on calendars. They don't even know. And anybody who tries to predict thinking they have know how the calendar was, I'm just telling you what, they're deceived. They don't. Nobody knows exactly. We don't know how exactly. They give ideas that, you know, we're off, you know, like 15, 16, 17 years. Some say more than that into the 20s. They say that, but nobody knows exactly. So you can't get over and trying to predict and from that standpoint trying to figure that out. And it's just a good thing to stay away from. You know, anybody who's ever predicted who the Antichrist was has been wrong. Everyone. There's never been one person right, yet loads and loads of people predict them. So they've been wrong. So I got on the prediction game. Found out was a good thing to do. But what we want to look at tonight, because we want to look at Israel, number one, God keeps emphasizing to me that the church is a people of the Spirit. That's what we are. And we're supposed to be listening to the Spirit. The Spirit will show us. The Spirit will guide us and lead us in line with the Word. He'll reveal to us what is not being revealed. You can study night and day the rest of your life. You can study and fast and pray and do all you want till you croak. If the Holy Spirit is not revealing, it's going to be what you think. And so I've learned that over the years is let the Holy Spirit start revealing. Let Him start moving in an area. And one of the things that we want to do, we're living in a time, especially from the standpoint of Revelation, that certain things are starting to open up. There's certain things we're being able to see. It's just got myself. I'm seeing things in the Scriptures concerning the end times I've never seen before, but I've read Scriptures over stuff. I've read them, man. I've known. But it's like, wow. I see how that lines up. So let's let God reveal to us, and He will. You're His people. He's not trying to hide anything from you. The Holy Spirit will show us what's to come, what we need to know, what we need to understand. He'll reveal it to you. He's not going to come back to try to steal you away. He don't have to. You're His. I mean, if you want to be stolen, that's up to you. But, you know, hello, He's not going to do that. Now, I want to look at something because we're going to look at a subject here. Because one of the things we want to see is this fact is Israel was not ready for the Messiah. Israel wasn't ready. And we find this out. Major moves of God, if you study the Bible, major moves of God in the Old Testament and all through, lots of times His people weren't ready for the move of God. They weren't ready. It's their own fault. It wasn't God's fault. Now, I want to read you a scripture, what it says here in Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 6. The Apostle Paul wrote this. And it says this, and I've often thought about this scripture because of certain other stuff in scripture we're going to look at tonight. It said, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It says in due time. Now, think about this. God sent the Messiah to Israel. I mean, Jesus even said and told His disciples when He sent them out to minister, He said, don't go out to the other place of Gentiles and all that stuff. He said, because I was sent to the lost tribes of Israel. You stay here with the lost tribes of Israel. That's where the first call came to. So you stay here. Now, it says here in due time, many of the translations say this, in which I like it better if you look into the Greek. Like the Bible Basic English just says it this way, for when we were still without strength, at the right time, Christ gave His life for the evildoers. Now, I want you to think of this. Jesus died. He died in Israel. He came to Israel first. Isn't this amazing? And it says He came at the right time. Well, now, we can't go, it was the right time because Israel was ready for Him, can we? See, God's right time and your right time are sometimes very two different things. I'm just going to say this and tell you this. The United States is not ready for the return of Jesus Christ, and most Christians are not ready for the return of Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this, He will come at the right time, whether you're ready or not. You know, we used to do as kids, we used to play hide and seek, and you'd count numbers, say, ready or not, here I come. There was a point to that. And as we're going to look at this, we want to look at this tonight, because here's something that's said that is not true. I've heard many ministers that I really like. Basically good Bible teachers and stuff. And I've heard them say this, and every time they say it, it makes me cringe. They say, Jesus can't come back till we get ready and get things right. And I've always been this. Well, then let's not live right, and he can never come. But see, people say those things that is totally unscriptural. Jesus Christ is going to come back whether the church or you or I are ready for it or not. We need to know it. The church is in the worst shape, generally, not all of it. There's people who are ready to walk in it, but generally, from the church standpoint, are not ready because most people don't even understand the time that they're living in. And they're not really doing much about getting ready. They're mostly living the same kind of life they did. They're not planning on leaving. They're planning here staying forever. They're planning here. I hear ministers say, I believe Jesus is going to come back this year, and they're still stuffing their 401k. Now that is a sign of what you really believe. Your faith is what you're doing. See, we can't run around and say these things. And see, we've got it to where saying Jesus Christ is coming back, it is a meaningless, worthless thing to people. When I hear most people say that kind of stuff, I didn't even pay attention a little bit. I think, well, they're just putting more and more people over in the area where they won't even know. They'll just keep living on like nothing ever happened. You see, we have to live in line of what, if we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, then people need to start living like we're leaving instead of staying. I believe it will come to that. That was the day Jesus said himself, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Well, what was Noah doing? He wasn't stuffing 401ks. He wasn't building bigger houses. He didn't have a 5-year program that God just gave him on the day of the flood. And this is what I'm saying. I believe God will speak to the church and God's going to direct us, but we need to listen and quit throwing out this, to me, this generic junk. And if we're going to make statements, people need to see that you believe it and you're just not talking. Just because, like we talked about, well, how bad it is today. Well, it's been bad all kinds of times. That can't be why things are happening. Now, I want to look at this because we're going to go to Matthew. I wanted you to see, because we're going to look at Israel and Israel's condition. We're going to see how Israel looked to Jesus Christ. We got the Messiah. The Messiah shows up, and we want to look at a number of places in Scripture where Jesus speaks concerning the Messiah concerning the people of Israel. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, we're going to go there. Matthew 11, and we're going to start at verse 16. Matthew 11, verse 16 is where we start. Jesus says this in Matthew 16, but to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you, you did not dance. We mourned for you, you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibbler, a friend of tax collector sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Then he began to rebuke the cities which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. And he said, woe to you, Chorazin. He said, woe to you, Bethsaida. He said, for if the mighty works which were done in you and have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now he's comparing to the heathens, the Gentile nations, compared to Jewish people. He's rebuking the Jews. But he said, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to the heaven, will be brought down to Hades. Now listen, Capernaum, if you read and study the scriptures, Jesus did more miracles in that city than any city that they have recorded. For if the mighty works were done in you that have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. This is what Jesus is talking. He's talking to the Jewish, these are Jewish people. These are Jewish cities. The Messiah came, and what happened? They're not accepting him. Oh, we want your miracles, but don't bother me. I have a life to live. I want your stuff, Jesus. But you know, go talk to somebody else. Now we want to stay in Matthew in these here and this here. I want you to go to Matthew because of another thing Jesus says. Jesus is talking about the Jewish people. In Matthew the 12th chapter, we're going to be down in verse 38, and then it says, some of the scribes and Pharisees answered saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be in the 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, I want you to see that, because basically he said, they said they want a sign. He said, the sign you're going to get is my resurrection. That's the sign. That's what you're going to get. But see, they're not paying attention. What did he call these people? Just cute little guys, you know. He called them an evil and adulterous generation. The children of Israel, we're going to find out, the children of Israel living at this time, they were a bad bunch. They were religious, but wicked. Unbelief, full of religion, but didn't know God. They had a temple they thought was great down there. Every day they're offering sacrifices down there at that place. They're going through the rituals of that stuff. And they're saying they want the Messiah, and the Messiah is standing there, and he's rejected of them. A minority, we'd say a remnant, accepted him nationally. Israel quit being a nation because of the rejection of the Messiah. Yet the Bible says he came at the right time. It was the right time. Well, not according to men in right times. He came in the middle of their religious nonsense, which he will do today too, right in the middle of the religious nonsense. He's coming back. It's not going to change. And let me just say this. He will say the same thing about America today. America's in huge trouble. If, under the old covenant, he would make such statements about a nation, what would he say to America, who has had revival after revival, and God has moved, and he has been rejected, and look at the mess we are today as a nation? You see, there's one thing, the Bible's full of patterns. It don't change. People act like, today, it troubles me greatly to how ignorant this positive message overlooks everything that the Bible says totally different in. Telling people things are all right and they're not all right. Nationally, we're in huge, huge trouble. Sodom and Gomorrah. See, people today looking at the homosexuality, not so bad. I'm sorry. There's Christians that are going to be judged harder than they will. Amen. Because of their self-righteousness. They don't follow God. They're just mad at the people who don't do what they do. The United States has had powerful revivals in it and has not walked toward God. We just go off. I always want what guys like Israel was. Hey, we'll show up to the healing meeting when it's over. We just go back to what we were. We want God's stuff, but God, we don't want you. Now listen what he goes on and says here. Now this is Jesus. He said, in verse 42, he said, the queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. See, how will they be judged? They're going to be judged whether they accepted the Messiah. They will be judged just as if they heard the Messiah. When they refused him, they heard him. They're going to be judged accordingly. They got to hear the Messiah. The people before that didn't get to hear the Messiah. They're not going to be judged as hard. We need to understand the revelation that this nation has had. This nation has had the gospel preached to it time and time again. I mean, you can turn on the television and get the gospel preached to you anytime you want it, but people don't, they don't care about it. They ain't, we're too busy living our lives. We can't have time to listen to the teaching. We don't have time to do this. We don't have time to do nothing. But it's a coming. It's a coming. It did in their time. They sure never thought 70 AD was going to come. They thought the Messiah was going to come and save them from Rome. And you know what happened? The devil delivered them right into Rome's hands. Not a very cool thing. Now, verse 43. Now listen to the context that this is written in. This is why it's so important to read context of what's written in. Because this is mostly, I've never heard anybody ever teach it in its context. Never. Now, it doesn't mean somebody hasn't. I haven't heard. Because now this is in context. Jesus is just talking about this judgment coming. Now, he says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man and he goes through dry places, seeks rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept in order. He said, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in, and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. See, this people keep teaching. He wasn't talking about an individual. Listen to the last statement. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. That's what happened to Israel. Israel ended up, rejection of Messiah became seven times worse than what they were. America, are we going there? Our nation has opened up to demons beyond measure. Has opened itself up. This principle stands no matter. This principle, we need to understand, we've had the gospel preached, people have heard it. I mean, I know people today that, you know, they lived, some were in the healing revivals of the 50s and into the 60s through the charismatic, those people were all in this thing. And God ain't no big deal to them anymore. But the devil's a big deal in their lives now. They don't think so. Well, I'm a Christian. Just walk around saying that stuff so glibly. You know, I believe in Jesus. They don't realize their wicked condition. Israel didn't realize its wicked condition. See, this is one thing is talked in scriptures about the end time. Demonic deception. So we're supposed to be watching for. You get deceived thinking you're okay when you're not. You're all right. Because people tell you, hey, you're just okay, you're okay. Israel wasn't okay. Jesus didn't speak a whole bunch of cute things to them as a national. He didn't do that. The Messiah goes to a nation who were supposed to, and they were looking for the Messiah, supposedly. But wasn't working. So, if we go by these things going on here, did God wait till things got real good so he would come to Israel and pick out, I got to go to a real good time and pick them out there. You need to understand this. God sure knows when Jesus is coming back, and Jesus knows. I want you to understand this. Jesus made a statement about his coming and said he didn't know, but only the Father knows. Now, I want you to understand it. He said that as a man. He did not say that as the Son of God. He said that as a man. If Jesus Christ doesn't know when he's coming back, then he is not God. He don't know everything. Today, he has to know it, or he's not God. He's not sitting, he isn't the one in authority over this, over the, is he in authority? He said, all authority in heaven and earth is mine, and I don't know what's gonna happen. Give me a break. I hear ministers talk dumb like that too, say, well, he doesn't know. It's all gonna be a big mystery. The mystery is people can't read. That's the mystery. The mystery is, we all this education in America, and we're still dumb as a stack. We can't read the Bible and figure it out. It's like, come on. Let's get it together, people. We need to see these things. But see, we need to know, Jesus here was talking about the condition of this nation that he's in. You can understand why Jesus said, I speak to them in parables. Why did he speak? He said, so they don't understand. In other words, if they want to know, they're going to have to turn around and change. And let me say this today. It's no different today. If people want to know about Jesus and his coming, God's not going to reveal it to them till they change their life. The revelation will come when people have an interest in the things of God. That's why you don't have a worry. You don't have an interest in the things of God. That's why I'm not concerned at all these things going on and these things of the world. They don't scare me. Why? It's not written in. But I'll tell you what, it sets Ed a good guideline of not what to get into. I'll tell you what, walk toward Jesus today. Keep your eyes ahead into the light. Keep walking in the light. Don't get caught. The world's going to drag you off if you let them. Yeah, okay, you know, you may what you want. You know, Jesus loves everybody. That's right. And so do the devil. He loved to call all of us off to hell if he can. We ain't going to let that one happen. We follow the truth. Now, I want you to see in Luke, go to Luke, the 11th chapter, another thing. Here in this area, Jesus said, we'll come back to Matthew again. Now, we're not going to look at all these because there's some of them in duplications that were spoke between Mark and into Luke and some things. There's different ones. But I'm just showing you this. The Bible says by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And I'm going to do more than that. So we need to. So this establishes what has been said. When Jesus had told his disciples and his other followers, when he told them it's not. He said, it's not for them to know the secrets of the king, it's for you. Why? Because they're following, they're disciples. Jesus isn't revealing himself to the casual. He does to his disciples. They're the followers. Amen. And so, hallelujah, I'm a following. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You know? And praise God, he'll reveal to us. Now, in Luke the 11th chapter, here's what Jesus says. This is about Israel, what they're like. Verse 49. Luke the 11th chapter, verse 49 says, therefore the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Gee. He was talking to those people there. Once the sides go, he said, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. You need to understand, we have a heritage in this nation of Christianity. And it's going to turn out bad for a lot of people. Judgment is going to be awful. There's a day of judgment. When the white throne judgment day comes, it's going to be awful because people thought things were terrible are going to find out they're going to be judged 1,000 times harder because of the revelation that they had and didn't go. God holds man accountable for what's given, not what he receives. It's what he's given. See, if you can hear the truth and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it's right. I don't believe the Bible's right. I don't care. You got to hear it. You made a decision. People need to understand this stuff. We take it that because we can decide whether we want it or not, whether we say it's true. All the rest of it just goes away. No, it don't. There's an end coming. And it's coming down the road fast. The train's on the track. And whether people like it, you're either on the train or you're on the track, one way or the two. And I'll tell you, the track's more full than the train is. That's the sad part. A lot more people on the track than on the train. And it's not good. But Jesus is saying about this generation, he revealed himself to a generation, and he knew this, that wasn't going to accept him. Yet God came. I want you to tell this, God will bear witness to people whether they want him or not. They'll never stand before him and say, I didn't hear. They're going to hear. They turned it down, that's their problem. That's the way it is. It's always been like that. It has never changed. The only thing that's changed is the Christianity we have today. It's not Bible Christianity. Most of it's man's ideas about Christ. But see, just like with these scriptures, I mean, these aren't ones you just go and, you turn the TV on and they're just telling you about this at the end time. No, they talk about the end time. We're leaving and dancing and everybody, they ain't going to see us disappear and we're going to go and we're going to go up and have a big dinner with Jesus and, you know, and all that bride. And that ain't even true. They're going through all these motions. Say, no, let's tell the truth. Now, let's go back to Matthew again in 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, we're going to start at verse 1 here again, because Jesus comes back. This is interesting because before that, he has spoken to the Jews, and this is interesting because he's told them more than once the same thing that Matthew records himself. In Matthew 16, we find later on, in the beginning there we had it, we had back in the 11th chapter, we got chapter 16, it said, in verse 1 says, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came testing him, asking that he would show them a sign from heaven. Hey, this is round two that Matthew, these people are slow to hear. Jesus talked about that slow to hear stuff. The problem. Hey. And he said, he answered, said to them, when it is evening, you say, he's going to give them another analogy. He said, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. He said, in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. He said, hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And again, he says that no sign shall be given to him except the signs of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. He didn't stay around to discuss it. Hey, why? Casting pearls before swine is a waste of time. They've already heard it. They keep coming to him. They've done this more and more. Ask him for signs. He's going around healing people, raising the dead and everything. That ain't enough. What do these guys want? You know why? They're acting like the devil. They're living like the devil. They're treating everybody around them like the devil. And God ain't playing their game. You think he didn't? Gee, now just think about this. Did Jesus love them? He went to the cross for them, didn't he? He died for them. So we can't get out of here and say, well, you know, Jesus didn't like these guys. He sure did. In spite of all they do. Now in Matthew 17, look what Jesus says here just in this verse 17. It says, 17:17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? And he said, bring him to me. That was the boy that he cast the devil out of when he came off the mountain. What did he call them? O faithless and perverse generation. Wow. You know, you don't really run for a popularity contest. But you don't want you to think that it hurt. I mean, look at the things that he did, and yet they still operating over in an area. Now listen to this. Luke 17, we'll go back over. Luke 17. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 24 says, For as the lightning that flashes out of the of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. Now, what he's talking about? Remember, we talked about Jesus and his return when he comes to set up his kingdom. It's going to be like lightning from the east to the west, and this is what he's referring to. He's referring to that. But listen to what he says. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. He told them they're going to reject him. Jesus knew this generation of people weren't going to accept him. Now, he had a remnant who accept him, but nationally, most didn't. And they opened up the devil. They stuck with their religious ideas and things, opened up for the devil to come 70 A.D., Israel is living in its condition today because of the rejection. Now, I want to tell you what. The Jews today are going to be a lot more than the Jews of during the period in the Old Testament. The things they did, some horrible, stupid, dumb things, like we read, went through the book of Judges. But they're not going to be judged as harsh as this generation today because of the gospel being preached. They ain't going to get away with it because the gospel... They're going to be and go through the great tribulation, that 3.5 years because of this thing. And it's only till that happens, till Jews, but actually I could take you to scriptures, not all are going to accept them. It says a remnant will. Scriptures tell us that a remnant will. It's a sad, sad thing. We have going on here in the earth is because of rejected. God upped the ante. After he sent his son, the revelation of God came into the earth. And God's holding man accountable. Holding, you know, and I just encourage you, you know, you walk in the light, you know, be a witness in the light. Follow what is true, whether with anybody else. I don't care what the rest of them are doing. I don't care whether people say it's all right to do and not all right to do. I don't care. I don't pay any attention to them because I ain't going to hell with them. I don't care if they say they believe in Jesus. I don't care what they say. You living like hell, I ain't going along with it. That's just that. Then when Jesus is coming, you know, even from an age standpoint, you know, I'm getting closer to dying. I'm going to be with Jesus. That's where I'm going. I don't want anybody else running. I ain't hanging out with the crowd that ain't gone. And the ones who say they are and act like hell, I ain't going with that crowd either. I ain't playing that game. If anybody has any revelation this time, we should know it's a time to be turning toward Christ.
Mm. Not away from. Amen.
Many people are going to be greatly disappointed to find out things. I just, back in 21, I have it, I wrote it down, it was May of 21, and I was minding my own business. It's in the bathroom and in the morning, getting up, and I started, you know, lots of times when I'm in the bathroom, I'm meditating on things and not paying attention to a lot of the stuff going on. I just sort of meditate on things. And just really clear, a voice said to me, said, judgment's coming. And at first I thought, what was that? He said, judgment, all these words were, judgment's coming. They will call on me and I will not answer. There's many people not getting answers today, and there's many more in the future, near future. Things are going to happen, and they're going to call, and they're not going to get answers. See, we've been lied to by preachers who teach, well, you know, God will always, no matter how you get or what you do, God came to Israel, no matter how they, God spoke to them in parables so they couldn't understand. Do you think when 70 AD come, they didn't want God? Shall I tell you how bad off they... See, they got into this positive message. It's sort of, it's a thing like, if we would go over and you read the book of Jeremiah. I don't know if you've ever gone over there. Jeremiah, when he started off as a prophet, you notice that his message began to, God's message to him began to change. He first started off, really, if Israel repent, they had gotten into the condition where Nebuchadnezzar was there knocking on their door, and God told them, said, if you repent, he said, and turn, he said, basically what it said, Nebuchadnezzar is going to take the place, but if you repent and turn, I'll let you stay in the land. You'll still get to live here. Well, they wouldn't repent and turn. They kept up their part. No, God's going to deliver us. He's going to run Babylon off and all that. See, I hear the faith people say stuff like that today. Well, we're just going to say God's going to do this and do that. Did you read the scripture what the end says he's going to be like? It ain't going to be this wonderful, glorious thing and everybody's going to be tiptoeing through the fuel loops and we're going to be playing ukuleles and, you know. It's not going to be happening. And so, Jeremiah went on, and it finally got to the point where God told them, it don't matter what you do, you're going to perish. See, God gave opportunity, but you can go to the time where God closes the door. We're not preaching that stuff. We keep telling people, you can always have time, you always have time. That's not true. God didn't quit. What happens, they quit gawking toward God. God don't force it. God will not force himself on people. He will never do that. God ain't going to make people accept him. We do that by our own volition, because we want to. You know, God never forced any of you to get saved. Never forced me. We make a decision. We come to the things, like I talked about on Sunday, you know, you come to the thing, to the temple, and you decide whether you're going to stay in or in the outer court. You make that decision. Many Christians today are living in the outer court and they ain't going in. They love the outer court. They love the world and the things of the world. They love the way the world lives and what it does. They love acting and talking like the world. They love those things. That's what they are. To go inside comes to change. the majority on the outsider, it's always been like this. They're the big voice calling, come on with us. Come on with us. The great voice is on the outside, because even in Christianity, the majority are on the outside telling people are spiritual. You don't have to get that radical. You don't have to go. You don't have to get, you know, you don't have to give up all that stuff. I ain't giving up nothing. I want to walk in holiness. I want to walk toward God. I'm not giving up something. I don't want to give it up what you're in my life. Morons. And Christians, listen to it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give up these things. It keep me further away from God so sickness can rule more of my life. So I have more problems with my kids. I get it. Hey, let me leave out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. You know? I want to stay out here so I can worry more. I hate to give that up, you know? Let me stay out there and say, man, I got to give this thing up. It's driving me crazy. Let's get inside. And that's what, you know, there's a safe place. There's a strong tower. But most of the church ain't going to go to it. Oh, they'll read the scriptures and they'll go through their little quotes. It ain't a place to talk about. It's a place you go.
Amen.
You can read all the psalms you want and all the stuff you want. It's worthless till you go in.
Amen.
Till you go in the house. Can you go in the house? I'm going in there. That's where I'm going to go live. I'm going to live in that place. We're not going to talk about that really neat place over there. People keep talking about heaven, how neat it would be. Hey, God's neat in the earth. Get over here. Have some days of heaven in the earth.
Amen.
Today would be the days to have some heaven in the earth in the middle of all this hell. People talk about the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer is God's will done on earth like it is in heaven. Anything bad in heaven? God wants to have some blessing here, like heaven has.
Amen.
That's about the strong tower. In the midst of everybody in the mess, you can have some heaven. We need to tell people that. You want to live in the outer court? You can stay in the outer court. You can be born again and live with Gentiles. Or you can come in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tell people to come on in.
Amen.
You tell them, I can pray all I want for you, but till you come in. And I said, I pray that you come in, but if you don't come in, you ain't staying out there and getting blessed. You become an open target for the devil. That's his field out there. You can't play in his territory and say, you can't touch me. Oh no, that ain't happening. You live in his land, he has opportunity, he has access. God has no right to tell him he can't do something to you.
That's right.
He has no right to do that. He can't usurp authority. And he won't. That's why we want to walk in our place. And we need to tell people that. These are the times. We're getting ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus Christ is coming back. I'm not going to go on because we really don't have to. One of the things is one of the things that the Lord has really dealt with me over the years. I've prayed a lot over this thing, and you guys have heard me talk a lot about things from Kenneth Hagin's prophecy from September 2nd, 1950. Because that prophecy took place, Israel had become a nation. And God was speaking concerning the nations in the earth of what's going to happen, because we're running into the end of things. We're running out into the end. Now, we're sitting here looking. Now, it's just in 1950 here. We're 74 years. In September, we'll be 74 years past that time. Now, see, some people, they sit and they look at things. Look at Israel. Israel's judgment is coming on them because the Messiah is standing in front of them. And all they're going to get the judgment of all the things that Israel did in killing the prophets. The voice of God would come to them. The voice of God. Now God himself shows up on the scene and is a voice to them, and they're rejecting it, and they're going to receive the punishment of all of what they did back there. Now see, people say, that ain't fair. Well, you better learn to know the Bible. They had much more given to them than the people of the past, and they have rejected. They're rejecting. Jesus comes as a prophet. What are they doing? They're going to kill the prophet again. God comes as a man in the earth, and they're going to kill him. They're not going to accept him as a Messiah. What a heavy price to pay. What about today? The Messiah has already come. Christians carry the voice of the Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, God has sent. And today, in America, they're stoning, Christians are stoning the Christians for preaching. Oh, you get out here and you preach anything, anybody got to repent. Oh, you know, you need to tame it down some. You need to, you know, you need to let these people alone so they can go to hell with me, you know. They're preaching a Jesus that's not in the Scripture. They're preaching, there's no such thing as righteousness and holiness without justice and judgment. It does not exist. Love does not exist without justice and judgment. If love lets all these people get into heaven who live like hell, then God is unjust. Why should I live right? Why should I do it right? Why should He demand of me anything? What? Is that just? You know, you find out among children, you have a child who's a pain in the neck and the other child's good, and you keep treating a child that's a pain in the neck, keep doing the same things for them as the pain, as the one that does good. Eventually that child, that one who is good, is going to get fed up with you. It's not, you know, time and time again, I have had adults talk to me how they were raised. And they had a pain in the neck, brother or sister. And all they did was they went and did everything for that child. The parents did everything. And they grew up and they said, you know, parents, you know, they were rotten to us. We did good. Well, we didn't get anything. He said, everybody got the money spent on them to get him out of jail, to get this person this, to get this person. They knew nothing. I was good. They didn't do anything for us. See, that's not like God. God won't do that crap. He is not that kind of God.
Amen.
And we need to get a hold of this thing about love. We portray something. God's not like that. God will give anybody a chance, but He won't keep reward. When you go to heaven, is people who, a Christian who is just a nominal Christian, and a man or woman walked and lived right, are they going to get as much reward as for the person who walked? No. Well, they're not. See, we need to be people who reward good. This is the great evil of socialism and communism. Because it rewards the lazy, it rewards those who don't do. The government takes care of people who, you know, they go out, produce as many kids as they want. We send money, you just go ahead and do what you want. You do your thing and we'll send you a check. Heaven ain't like that.
Amen.
That's not the love of God. You know, and people need to awaken to this stuff. We've equated all this stuff as being, we're being good to people. Say, how do we need to tell these people, you can't keep doing this. You know, people say, well, it's the government's money. I'm sorry, it's my money. I'm in this government. I work and I pay taxes toward. It's my money. And see, people need to understand this. You're not getting this. Nothing's coming free. Somebody's paying for it. And it just, people just don't get it. So, well, it comes from the government. Like the government's just supposed to do this stuff because just the way it is. I'm sorry. That's the way life is. And we need to see it. America is much more wicked than people think. The church is much more wicked. Many people won't even bother coming in the door of a church because the church will take care of you on the outside. Why to come in? If you hear the things that I hear on the phone of people, they demand of you that you're supposed to do things from. Why? Well, you're a Christian. You got it. And I ask them, what do you know about being a Christian? If you know so much about being a Christian, what do you do? I ask them about, who do you give to? Who do you help? Oh, you don't help anybody. It's, oh, you're just one of them crooks. You come along when everybody else go to work and do something, and you want somebody to give it to you, but you don't help people. But we're sitting here in this place, and we're just supposed to, when you want something and you have a need, you can call. You have to do this for me. Well, you're a Christian. Oh, you big people out here. The church has perpetrated it all. They perpetrated these things, and now people think that, you know, they come along, you're a church, you're supposed to take care of me. You're supposed to do this stuff. And it's a shame. The church has become this thing that there's no, people don't care about it. It isn't anything. They don't disrespect. You know, years ago, I know when I was a Christian growing up, you had people who were sinners. Even if a minister got around them, they didn't curse and swear or do things like that. They wouldn't do it. Now today, it don't even matter. They'll curse, swear in front of anybody, anything. They don't care. They have no respect. The church did that by our unholy lives. living unholy. They don't have any respect for God. They went and lived like hell, disrespect God, and we just run and chase after them. We're not chasing them with the gospel. We chase them with money and food and all kind of things. We don't chase them with the gospel. We don't care if they get saved. I feel good. I helped them. I was like, Brother Hagin said, you know, Jesus is in the earth. He did the will of God. He said, and he didn't, he said, he did the will of God. He preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He said he didn't hand out hamburgers and hot dogs. We've replaced the will of God and the great blessings of God by giving everybody stuff instead of the blessing. We don't give them the blessing of God. We give them stuff, and everybody today thinks that's the love. That's the love. That's the love, stuff. That ain't the love. Having stuff ain't going to take you to heaven. I don't care what you think you can believe for here. You ain't taking none of it with you. It don't go. It ain't none of it. Now, these things sound hard, but we're going to look in here and some things and find out that some things that are told is one of the things that we need to be telling people in this time. There needs to be a message. Jesus Christ is coming back. As we find him, as we go in and read with Kenneth Hagin's thing where Jesus appeared to him and told him. Now this, think of this. This is 1950. And he told Kenneth Hagin, the church, the message we're supposed to be carrying is to people to America to repent. That's not the message today. The message today is you need your sins forgiven. No, you need to repent. If people don't get born again, we can go through all this forgiveness stuff like we talk about. They must be born again. You're not going to see the kingdom of God. You don't get a changed life. You don't get to... Nobody's going to heaven without a changed life.
Amen.
And it's got to be a supernatural one. Hallelujah. Praise God, I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. But see, there's a message of repentance and we need to tell. Our nation, he said in his, Jesus told him, the only thing that will save America. He didn't say an election. Donald Trump's name wasn't mentioned. He didn't. He said the only thing that will save America is repentance. The only thing. I wonder if that was true or not. It is not true to most people call themselves, think they're godly because they're conservatives. How many people think what's going to save America? We could pray for the nation. If we don't repent as a nation, America cannot be saved. It cannot. Impossible. Israel came to the place they couldn't turn around in 70 AD. They were destroyed. America will go down the tubes unless there is repentance. America will go. We can't stay on this course. We can't do it. No nation has ever been able to do it. No nation's ever been able to do it. And America can't. America is living under judgment now. We're asking for good when our deeds deserve judgment. God has been so tolerant for us, it's phenomenal. If God would have given America what it deserved, we would not even be existing as a nation like we are today at all. People say it's bad. No, it's not near as bad as it should be. God has been gracious in spite of. But, so well, we need to see these things because when people are calling the end times, people don't even know what the end times are today. They're speaking about things of the Scripture doesn't say. They're not following the principles of the Word. If Israel couldn't get away with the rejection of the Messiah, how could America? It's impossible. We think we're going to have a great revival and everybody's going to turn. They will not. I will guarantee you that's a lie. Did Israel turn because it was a great revival? We have this thing, an idea, if a big revival comes, everybody's going to get excited and join Jesus. How come Israel didn't? See, we get these ideas and people preach it. I mean, it's preached from pulpits. It's preached. But the Bible doesn't show that kind of stuff. But people preach it nonetheless. I believe there's a revival coming. But I believe America, I'll guarantee as soon as the sun comes up in the morning, nationally our nation won't return. It's not going to return. Nationally it will not. America's had its last call. What are we going to do as the church world to uphold things, to get people to come into the kingdom? We want to move of God. Because there are people who will come in. There's people who will. But there's many who won't. There's people who will, but there's many who won't. There's many, I don't care how many miracles you do or how many different things that happen, they're still not going to come in. During the 1950s healing revival, it is phenomenal of the miracles that took place in America. The ministries were phenomenal. Yet the majority of the church rejected the Spirit-filled move of God and the healings and stuff and went right back to their old stuff again. Charismatic renewal come along. The churches, I see it. I saw the stuff come along. People getting filled with the Holy Ghost in churches and that stuff and things of all different denominations. God moves. Boom. Those same churches and places today, people went back into them instead of leaving them and getting out of them, went back to them and they're as dead as they were. They left it all. They went off back down to it. They left the miracles, the signs. Well, they left all that back into their religion. Yes, we're going to accept every pervert that comes along because God loves them. That's what it turned into. See, we need to see that these things are coming. We need to see things that we were told. They don't pan out. There's one thing as I watch and look and I go back over and say, all that they've said, it doesn't go. It doesn't go the way that they said. They're preaching a gospel that isn't the way man's moving. It's like just if we have miracles, if miracles caused men to receive, to follow Jesus, Israel should have overran him. They had one of the greatest revivals that ever took place in any nation. God showed up himself. I believe in it. Look, I'm not trying to be doomsday, but I'll tell you, for people who don't accept Christ, it's doomsday. It is doomsday. And we need to tell them. It's doomsday. If they don't get born again, they're not going to see the kingdom of God. They have to accept Christ and follow him. Not accept him at a distance and run back out there and not get to live any old place. That's not the gospel. That don't change anybody's life. Nobody gets born again wanting the world. You got to want to leave it. I will tell you this, there's going to be a lot of people coming in this last move of God. There will be people who will shun away from the things of God, who once walked with him. Those ones who haven't known him, they'll come running into the kingdom. And they're going to come in this last days. They'll greatly outshine many who have been in the kingdom. It's like Jesus said. Jesus warned that it would take place. He said the children of the kingdom would go to weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what he said. See, he told the Jews, the Gentiles are coming in. You're going out. I'm staying in. I'm staying in. So continue yourself in walking close. Don't get fearful of the times. These things are about the people that don't follow. This is what this is about. It isn't about the people that follow. It's the people who don't. Hallelujah. We're in the kingdom. We're wanting God. We're not trying to get away from it. We want to hear the truth. If we need to judge ourselves, we'll judge ourselves. But the people who don't are in trouble. People who are not moving, they're in great trouble. And we need to be the warning sign. Hey, you're not going to be Mr. and Mrs. Popularity, but who do you want to be popular with? Jesus? I want to be popular with Jesus because that's where I want to spend eternity. But we're going to spend eternity with whoever we think's popular. You know, that's where our real faith is. That's what your faith is, where you're going to follow your true faith. You're going to follow what you truly believe. That's the way it is. And I know this, I've learned this a long time ago from the day I accepted Christ. I knew this is not the popular, you know, you don't become popular because you accept Jesus. You don't become, because you'll have plenty of people if you really walk close to him. The first thing that I found out, the people that I thought would be excited to hear the things that I learned about God that they weren't. Just, I always tell the story. I said, when I was going to go to Bible school from Rhema, when I started, I was working at, go to Rhema Bible school, and I worked at Reese's, and I put in my notice there that I was going to be leaving and all that stuff. I never had one sinner come to me and say, "Oh man, Ed, you ought to not do that." Sinners would come and say, "Wow, it's really, I'm serious." I had numbers of them come to me and say, "It's really something that you're going to leave and go ahead and go do that. That's something." I had numbers of Christians come, "Are you sure God's talking? You're leaving a good job and your family and sister." Christians. First thing I found out, you got to cast the devil out of the Christians. People call themselves Christians because they're going to be your greatest discouragement. You're going to follow God and they'll tell you, "Are you sure it's a thing to do to go to Bible school? Don't you want to stay here with us unbelieving Christians? Don't you think God's money is more important, you know?" You know, if God didn't call you, you don't have to go. But you better go if He called. It's one thing when somebody says they're going to do something for Jesus, I'm not going to go discourage them. I'll tell you. Say, "My God, you're going to do something for Jesus. You're not ordinary. I'll tell you. You're different. Hallelujah." But if God told you to don't go, this is what I'll pray for you. I hope your life gets so darn miserable you can't stand it till you obey. I hope blessings stop today. And I hope you go to bed at night, you can't sleep till you do the will of God, because I'd rather see you in heaven than you doing what you want to do. Because if Satan can pull you out in an area from the will of God, he'll take you one place, he'll end up taking you to another. He'll take you further out.
Amen. That's right.
He does that. He does it. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
And let's tell people. Let's invite people to go with us.
Amen.
They say, "Well, you're too crazy." Well, I'm still inviting you to us. You can be crazy like me and go crazy with Jesus, or you can just go crazy with the devil and spend your life with him. Amen. Whichever you like. One way or the other. There's not three groups. There's no other plan B's. Hallelujah. Father God, I just want to thank you tonight. Lord God, I know these are things that sometimes it's hard for people to hear and listen to, Lord God, especially people who are sinners. But Lord God, I want to thank you. You're protecting us. Hallelujah. We're on the right course and I can see it. Hallelujah. We're after you. And Lord God, we're going to call, especially with our nation, the people of our nation, to repentance. There must be a turning away from the direction we're going. And there's only one other direction, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. There's only one who can redeem this nation and redeem the people of it, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just want to thank you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that life of Christ is burning in us.
Amen.
We desire it, and we're after it. And Lord God, we're not hating the people on the outside. Lord God, we're warning them. Lord God, we don't want people going off to eternity. Lost, the lake of fire. Lord God, it's just hard to imagine in my mind of the horror that must be. Lord God, Lord Jesus said we're supposed to invite people to go along with us. So hallelujah, we're going to do that. Give them an invitation and let them know we want them to go. We want to let them know that we want to spend eternity with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want them to enjoy the blessings of heaven. That Jesus has been preparing this for us. For all who will call on His name. Hallelujah. So we thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we look with great expectation because that day will come. Hallelujah. And those ones that, hallelujah, went on to reward before us, Lord God, they're going to come back and meet us in the air with us. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time that's going to be. Hallelujah. When the entire body of Christ for the first time is going to be together and all have our new body. Hallelujah. To be just like our Master. What a time that will be. Hallelujah. Lord, for eternity from that time on, man, it ain't nothing but bliss for us.
Amen.
And Lord God, we want to invite others to join that bliss. Hallelujah. Everyone who can. We want to even call out to the Jewish people and say, "Come along, join us." Don't wait till the tribulation. Hallelujah. Come on and join us. Hallelujah. We thank you for Father, giving us the wisdom and understanding of the great grace that you have toward mankind and your love. Hallelujah. And your love is a good love. And Lord God, I want to thank you. It's such a powerful love. It can transform a human life into something it could never have been. So we thank you, Father God. We're trying to give people the message, and hallelujah. Lord God, your word will stand true no matter what man says, hallelujah. I want to thank you. We can count on it, and we will be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.